Accession number 28635, Reel 4.
Reel 4, Paul Ryan. You were also saying that you spoke to school children who were going to Japan and Thailand.
Hmm.
Could you tell me about that? This would be at the IWM, would it?
Yes, the school were funded. They'd won a competition, actually, to go on this trip, which was, I believe, a lottery-funded trip, part of their Past Your Future. And as I say, I'd been given their itinerary to follow. So my visit over the 2 weeks was based on what their plans were at that point, which I think they reduced slightly by the time they went. So they had a preparation day, really, where they came into the War Museum in London, and there were various people talking to them about what they might be seeing and how they might prepare. And I'd offered to show them through the sketchbooks that I'd made and talk to them about my experience of the trip. So that was it. Was very useful for me because it was in the intermediate stage preparing for installing the exhibition, and it was a good way of hearing their individual expectations and comparing those with the ones that I'd had. So that, yes, that was useful.
Mm. These would have presumably be quite mature students, would they, school children?
Yes, I think they were A-level students.
I know they normally have books in exhibitions, don't they, in the IWM, where people write, you know, comments,
yes,
their response. Have you had some interesting ones, do you think?
Yes, I've only looked once, which was quite early on, and yes, obviously the comment book covers the whole of Captive, and Drawing for Survival. My exhibition is one room at the end of Captive, but yes, sometimes some comments, single parts of my exhibition out, which again reinforces, I think, the way the way people read that type of medium, and so that backs up my views on how those things work. But it's the book has quite a few almost essays in it. I mean, people really write a lot about the exhibition overall, Captive, and the thoughts it provokes, quite often relating to their family members' histories that relate in some way to the Far East as much as to the work as artwork.
How about the veterans? Are there many who visit and comment, you know, the POWs?
Yes, well, is it, I think it's William Rose, isn't it, who he came to the day with the school and he donated his diaries excuse me, to the War Museum some time before. So he was there talking to the school children, and also his diaries were there, which were very small. I think he probably had eight or so there that he was talking about. And afterwards I asked him if he'd ever lost any whilst he was out in the jungle. And he said no, that he'd travelled all the time as a prisoner of war and managed not to lose any. And he'd said that he felt that if he could make just an entry for each day and manage to keep them and get them back to show his wife, then that then everything would be all right. That was almost the impression. There was something about his response which I identified with when I asked him if he'd ever lost any. He really seemed to sort of physically respond to that as something very important, that he hadn't lost any. And he said that, I don't know, this may be recorded elsewhere, but he said that when he went to bed each night, went to sleep each night, I'm sure there weren't beds, he would display his diaries out on absolute view, because he knew that if anything was hidden and was discovered, they would not only be destroyed, but he would be punished. And whenever the Japanese asked him what these books were, he would say they were notes relating to the work that his group of men had to do each day. And in that way he kept them. So I thought that was very shrewd as well.
They seem to have been a means of survival for him as well.
Quite,
keeping,
yeah.
You know, that's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that, I mean, he did have a couple of drawings, but it was nearly all writing. Very, very careful, small writing in these tiny diaries. And for me, I suppose, they had the quality of a sketchbook, or in some way, that they had all these entries which represented a sort of rotating set of moods and events which were all very different.
Do you think you will continue with this sort of art? Do you think, you know, particularly relating to war, what's happened in war, does it interest you at all?
Well, it seems to have approached me. I wouldn't have singled it out. I mean, I've just had an exhibition in Serbia, which is, 8 years on from the bombing, which I went a year ago to prepare for the exhibition, and I didn't really necessarily intend to make the work so much about that, but I used a gardening metaphor in the exhibition, which related to how ideas prosper or don't prosper in certain environments, and the ideas were represented by an open sketchbook at a particular page. So inevitably that seemed to be about how certain ideas were prospering in Serbia under the circumstances.
Did this relate to the war in Kosovo? You know, what was it, and the bombing that of Serbia that resulted from
yes,
that?
Yes, it wasn't specifically related to that, but that subject matter became more prevalent than I expected. And I did include one page which I'd made at the time of that war. Obviously, I was here in London, and it was in response to a newspaper article, and it's quite cartoon-like as a drawing, and has a few quotes from the newspaper and some drawings of bombs falling on a city, and it names the places that were being bombed. And I showed that in the exhibition in Belgrade, which was the only specific drawing. But the rest of the exhibition could be read as a way of looking at how ideas or states of mind were coping in the environment now, which is still very politicised about whether the NATO bombing was a good thing or not.
And was it well received, your exhibition there? Was it understood?
Yes, I think it was. It was quite clear, easy to read in that way, but it seemed to provoke a lot of interest. It was well covered in the media, and a lot of people were going. So.
Do you have any particular thoughts yourself about issues of war and peace, you know?
Well, I suppose that's that way of putting it has to be key to the way I see it, that they are inseparable, and we tend to think about these events in a sort of isolated way and give them a name, but my overall impression, the more I look at it, is that it's a sort of rolling rolling network of events which seems to lead to these conflicts or times of peace in different places, and my overall view is that that's on one hand unfathomable, and on another hand it's not stoppable or resolvable.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Paul, for letting me come today and do this recording. Thank you very much. I know how busy you must be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perhaps we'll meet in the future and continue.
Yes, hopefully.
I'm sure you're going to do other interesting things.